So welcome to adding intelligence to your line of business applications using Power BI Embedded. We couldn't fit any more words in the title, so we had to shrink line of business to LOB. My name's John Aluck. I'm a group program manager with Microsoft.
And I'm Josh Kaplan. I'm a senior program manager with Microsoft.
And we're here today to talk about Power BI and your applications. So it's first thing in the morning. Time zones are all over the place. Bodies are confused, you know, sleep or awake. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions to help us with some context. How many folks in the room are developers? You know, you're building applications. Sweet. Okay, you are. That's a good proportion. How many folks in here are IT admins, folks that administrate line of business applications? Okay, great. How many people have used just Power BI in general before and so understands, oh yes, okay, this is our crowd. And how many folks have built something or at least looked at Power BI embedded before? Okay, so this is the perfect session for you then, because we'll walk through exactly that. So why are we here? We want to talk about how to make your application smarter. The reality is, for everyone in this room, all of our users clearly are engaged with software, right? Desktop machines, mobile phones, kiosks, whatever that is, they're working with software every day. The reality is, though, can you read that? I'll read it to you. It says that, however, yet fewer than 25% of employees have access to analytical insights. In this age of data-driven decisions and smart action, that's a problem. That means that 75% of people out there are making decisions without possibly knowing the right information. They're working on stale data, they're working on wrong data, or worse, they're working off gut, right? And that's scary for everyone in this room. What we are here to talk about is, how do you provide the contextual insights, the information your users need, where they need it, when they need it, so they can make those decisions, right? Now, to be fair, that's a hard problem. How many folks in this room have currently got some form of a BI or visualization or charting solution that you've built yourself? Okay, and then how many folks are using products that aren't from Microsoft to solve that problem? So you know now, there's tons of cost involved with this, right? From infrastructure and maintenance through actual development and integration cost. And so what we're wanting to do is provide you a device-agnostic experience. Power BI runs across all platforms and all browsers, right? That's something the regular SaaS service does. That's something Power BI Embedded does as well. The other thing that we do, what we believe very well, is deal with dispersed and complex data. From the simplest of forms, an Excel spreadsheet, through to some of the most complex multi-dimensional data sources from analysis services, we handle that. Your information is there, that's what you need, right? You need that information consumable in your application. And the other thing that we really believe in is helping to deal with shrinking attention spans. Now, I guarantee you, over the next 75 minutes, every single person in this room will look at their phone at least once, and that's totally fine, because I want to check my phone too. But the reality is you don't have the luxury of time with your users anymore. If they have to dig through 17 tables, 14 different places, do some math, and then just make a decision, that's not going to fly. They'll take shortcuts. And one of the things about Power BI is, folks that have used this, used Power BI in the room, realize is, we are built for quick insight, right? Double click, get into something. It helps your user figure out what to do quickly without needing to pour through literally pages upon pages and tables upon tables of data. Power BI Embedded is taking that one step further. That's taking these capabilities, quick insight and action, allowing you to put that into your application. But what is Power BI Embedded actually? It's a service built on Azure. In fact, it's a core component of a lot of the Azure Analytics services. If you go to the Azure portal, you'll find us right there under Data and Analytics. We are a service fully built and subscribed off of Azure, and you don't actually need to have the traditional Power BI to use Power BI Embedded for your applications. And we'll talk about that more in this session. What I want to do real quick, just to show to set a little bit of context, is show you a demo of an application, a SaaS app called Nintex Hawkeye. They're one of our early customers, and they actually use Power BI to replace some of the reporting capabilities they had in their application. So let me switch over to the demo machine real quick here and just show you. So this is Hawkeye. Like I said, it's a SaaS service. It's hosted in their web. And you can see there's a variety of functionality that they provide their customers, one of which is what they call the usage lens. So Power BI Embedded is all about putting reporting and analytics capability into your application. And what you see here is This is their app, right? There's no flipping out to Power BI in order to see what is a Power BI report. They built this the same way you've already built your Power BI reports, using the desktop or even in, perhaps in the SaaS service. It's the same experiences overall. And then you plop that right into your application. Seamless embedding, right? There is no, from the user's point of view, it is just part of Nintech's Hawkeye. It is just part of your application. They aren't having to do separate authentication, for example, right? They load into the portal and it's there right away. And what we'll talk about later on as well is what we've been adding over time is the ability to make this fully interactive. And so it can be part of your application. Navigation in the larger app can cause state change in the reports, and navigation in the reports can affect state change in your app. And Josh will show a lot more information about that shortly. But the main takeaway I really wanted to show here was it's just a part of Nintech's Hawkeye, although under the hood, Nintech has a relationship with us. They built the reports for Power BI, and they've embedded the Power BI controls into their application. Switching back here real quick. Just a little bit more in terms of context. So you probably have seen this slide if you were at WPC earlier this year or even at some of the various keynotes and other sessions. This is the digital transformation that Microsoft is driving, right? At the very bottom of this stack is Azure. Everything from compute, you know, all the way IaaS, PaaS, all of those pieces. Directly above that is what we're calling our application platform. How many folks in this room have heard of Power Apps before or use Power Apps? So Power Apps is making it super simple to build those business applications and deploy and use them, right? So Power Apps is a key piece of this application platform. Power BI Embedded, what we're talking about here today, is another one. We are working with Power Apps to bring Power BI Embedded functionality into Power Apps, so you just have that. You can also use Power BI Embedded directly, as we'll talk about here, in your applications. And finally, Flow, a workflow management service that Microsoft provides, and the common data model, right? A way to create a common set of entities and logic that can be used across all of your applications. That is Microsoft's business application platform. Built on top of that, first of all, Power BI, right? Power BI is built on top of our app platform, as is the Cortana Intelligence Suite and the Azure IoT services. Office 365 also leverages a variety of these services as well. The new offering, Dynamics 365, that we've been talking about this past calendar year, just like Power BI, just like Office 365, leverages this application platform. It uses Power BI for its embedded BI needs. It's built on top of the common data model. And where and when appropriate, Power Apps and Flow fit in. And finally, this should be the part that everyone here really wanted to hear about, your business applications, right? Your line of business apps built on the Microsoft application platform can do everything, we believe, that our apps can do as well. And that's what's powerful here. That's the new Microsoft, right? Opening this up to allow you to do what we do as well. And then finally on top of this is the Microsoft App Source service, the distribution mechanism so users can acquire these applications, so that your users can find, download, install, instantiate your apps. This together is how we're driving our digital transformation for business applications across Microsoft. And as you can see, Power BI Embedded is one of the foundational pieces for providing that data insights to drive action across all of Microsoft's applications. So I'm going to hand this over to Josh now to talk a bit about the Power BI conceptual model.
Thanks. So what is Power BI Embedded? As Jano mentioned, it is an Azure service. And as developers, you'll have one or more Azure subscriptions. And now to your Azure subscription, you can add our resource, which is called a Power BI Workspace Collection. This is a collection of workspaces. And the workspaces are where you actually store your reports and your data sets, that you're going to use our APIs to fill up those collections with those objects you've created, and then embed them into your application so specifically your users can see them. Now, like any other Azure service, this process is fully automatable, and it's seamless to your end users. I kind of like to think of us as almost like the blob storage for reports. Now, you can create a workspace collection, which is kind of like a storage account, and you can add to that workspaces, which is kind of like a blob, and then you can just add reports to that. Now, like as you saw in Nintex, it's your application actually kind of brings form and experience to those reports. We're a mechanism of storing those reports. We're also rendering those reports and a bunch of other Power BI features that come along with that as well. But it's really all about your application here and how you expose these reports to your end user. So with Power BI Embedded, we give you all the tools to create compelling and interactive reports. You can do this without having to write a single line of code. You have to use all the functionality of Power BI to make these reports kind of come to life. We give you the tools to embed this, our APIs, our SDKs, and finally, as part of Azure, we give you the entire management piece so that you can automate these, roll your apps out, do your entire lifecycle of your application, just as you would any other Azure component, but with Power BI instead. So I'm going to show you a go live. This is just how you can get started with Power BI Embedded. I'm going to do it in less than 10 minutes. I'm going to save some time to show some new stuff, too, at the end. So let me flip back. So as I mentioned, you can get started with Power BI, building your reports, without actually having to write any code. So what I have here is the Power BI desktop. This is a free download you can get if you go to powerbi.com. And this is where you're going to build your reports. Now, I can come in here, and I can say get data. And this is what all the different sources we can pull data in from. I want to go and I'm going to say I'm going to connect to a SQL Azure database. I'm just going to enter my server information. And then I have two options here. I have import and I have direct query. There's two modes for getting data into Power BI. One is this import mode where we kind of go out and we grab a bunch of data and we pull it in and we store it in this cache. And every query, every time someone views a report, clicks on something on a report, we then query against that cache. Very fast, very performant, but you do periodically have to refresh that cache to get the latest data in there. So if something changes in your database, it's not going to show up in the reports until you refresh that cache. The other option is the one I have selected here called Direct Query. And Direct Query doesn't have a cache. What it does, it leaves the data in its store, like here it'll leave it in that SQL Azure database. And every time someone views a report or interacts with the report, it's going to fire off queries directly to that SQL Azure database, run them in SQL, get the results back, and then just display the results. So advantages here is your data is going to be always up to date. And you can scale your data as large as you can scale your SQL DB and still be performant. So you really don't have the same size limitations as you do with import. But both options are here. They both have their different pros and cons. Right now in Power BI Embedded, we support the direct query option, and we're working to support import as well. I can come in, I can connect, and I can see my SQL Azure DB. And I can select a bunch of different tables in here. And I'm going to select a bunch of different tables in here. OK, a couple more tables. And I'm going to say load. I can kind of see a preview of what I've done here, what I've selected. Now, when I say load, it's not actually loading the data because we picked direct query. What it is doing, though, is it's connecting to each table I selected. And it's looking at the metadata of those tables. What are the columns? What are the data types of those columns? The names of them? How is the data related? And what it's doing is it's building out a data model for me automatically. So automatically it pulled in those tables, knows how they're related. And this is kind of going to be the foundation of the report we're going to build. Now this is what's kind of nice about using Power BI for your visualizations, because you're not just getting visualizations. You're getting this full data stack here. And I'll show you as I build out some of the reports kind of what this allows you to do. One of the things it allows you to do is easily drag and drop and build that report out. So I'm going to flip over to where I've kind of started this a little bit. And all I did here, I have the same model I just imported, but I fixed up some of the names of the tables a little bit. And I can flip it over to the report view, and I've actually started building out a report. And I did this pure with drag and drop, and I'll show you as I build out the last visual. But let's say we're building a website for e-commerce. We have a website where different companies can come and sell their products. And we want to offer them some reports so they can see how their products are selling. So I've started building out this report here. It's called our sales dashboard. And on here, I can see the revenue and the sales by the different sales reps of the companies that are selling with us, the sales by the different products, and the sales to the different companies that they're being sold to. We want to fill out this spot here. And let's say I want to see revenue by the different cities where they're being sold. So I can come, I can look for revenue. And we do have a column called revenue. Actually, Let's look for city first. We have a column called city. And when I select city, automatically we know it's a location field. So Power BI suggests a map to you. And I say I want to see revenue. So I can take that, I can drag that into our size here. Interesting. Oops. There we go. And now you can see we have revenue by city. So with just one click and one drag, we basically got an out-of-the-box map visual showing revenue by city without having to write any code to do that. In addition to just the visual, that data model I showed you before was what allowed for that drag and drop, but it also allows for what we call cross-highlighting. So if I click on a sales rep over here, that map now automatically filters down to just show those sales reps by city. And it kind of goes the other way as well. Click on a city, now everything else in the report goes and filters down to just show revenue or whatever the metrics were for that city. Now, I could do this without writing code, but let's say sometimes my app needs something special. You'll see an example of this later on, a real example of this. But let's say the out-of-the-box visuals are not quite what I need. So what we did a few months ago now at this point is we took all the code for our visualizations and we open sourced them. We put them up on GitHub. So you can actually go on GitHub and download all the code for the out-of-the-box visuals that I'm showing here. And you can use that to kind of tweak the visuals if you want to, make some changes. But you can also use that to make your own visualizations. And if you actually go to visuals.powerbi.com, you'll see some of the visuals that our community has made and posted. And you can actually download and use these. There's a whole bunch on here. There's even more out here that aren't on here. But you can use these and any of the ones you make to enhance your reports and make them more specific to your app's needs. So let's say I needed a different map here. I can go and I can build a 3D map. And this 3D map can even take some more fields into it, so I can show not only just the revenue, but I can show the order quantity of the items that are being sold in here, and I'll put that on my heat intensity. And now I have two metrics being shown at one time. Now this is a custom visual. It's built in WebGL. Now I could have just built this visual and put it directly into my application, but what I get by putting it in Power BI is I automatically get all those other features I was showing you, that easy drag and drop, this easy cross-highlighting, all that stuff for me automatically. It's not just a visualization, it's a visualization sitting on top of that data stack, sitting on top of Power BI. And you get with that everything that comes with Power BI. There's actually nothing that we can do on the visuals we ship with the product that you can't do with a custom visual that you build yourself once it's in Power BI. So I can do some more things like format this a little bit, make it look like the rest of the report. But once it's done, I need a place to put it, and that place is going to be the application I'm building. Going with the example from before, it's going to be our e-commerce site. So I already have the app. Now I need my very own instance of Power BI to host this report. So to get that instance of Power BI, you go to the Azure portal, portal.azure.com. And if you click on New, under, wow, we changed that. Now Intelligence and Analytics. Time to update some slides.
I know, right?
Hey, we're not on top anymore. Oops, and that's not us either.
This is how you know it's a real demo.
Yeah.
Because right? They're changing names and positioning.
What, did we make some announcements yesterday? I was on a plane. So you can click on Power BI Embedded. And that brings up our create blade, so you can start creating your Power BI instances. And remember, our Azure resource is called a workspace collection. And I can name this something unique. And pick which subscription it goes to, pretty standard Azure stuff, which resource group it goes with. And something that you can do here that you can't do with just Power BI in general is I can pick which location I'm going to put this in. So remember I called this like the blob store for reporting. You can actually pick which data centers, which locations, which regions you're going to put your Power BI workspaces in. And you can do this to kind of co-locate it with your users, structure it with your application. You know, if you have web services or websites running in a certain data center, you know, it's good to put a Power BI instance with that too, so the users in that region will see, you know, the closest Power BI instance to them. Structure this like you would structure the rest of your application. So I'll pick South Central here, and I'll go ahead and create this. And what this is doing now, it's creating my own instance of Power BI. It takes a few seconds. But when it's done, you'll basically get all the information you need now to go call our APIs. So it's done now. And we brought up our workspace collection that we've created. Now, I don't have any workspaces in here yet. We're going to use the APIs in a moment to go ahead and create that. But you see where we've created our workspace collection. And you also see in here your access keys. The access keys are what you use to call the APIs, to provision content, but also to do the embedding. And I'll show you how that works in a moment. To actually go to the next step, we're going to have to start writing some code. To also help you get started, we have a sample you can download. It's actually a full-blown application, a web application, where you can actually go and upload some reports and see them right in that web application. So I'll show you how that works. I've already kind of pre-downloaded it. And our web sample is actually two samples. It's this provision sample, which is the one on the bottom. That's kind of like your deployment process, your deployment process. It's what you use to kind of provision out the workspace collection, the different content in it. It's what you do if you built some reports, you check them in, you want them to deploy to dev, test, production. It's a sample of the code you would write to do that. And the other one is this embed sample. That's actually the full-blown web app. In our case, it's the e-commerce site where people log into to see their sales. So there's some videos of me online where I actually do this a little bit more detailed, but I want to save some time to show some of the new stuff today. So I'm going to go through this a little bit quicker. I'm just going to show you what the provision sample does. And you'll see here that actually the first four steps we did, or the first four steps here, we actually already did in the Azure portal. So we created our workspace. I showed you the keys. Anything you can do in the Azure portal, you can also automate through the Azure ARM APIs. Again, anything you can do through UI, we want to make sure you can also do through APIs. That way you can automate every step of this process. So the first four steps we don't have to do now. We would start here if we were going to do this through, we would actually start on step five. We would create a new workspace. And then we'd use the next few steps to upload that file we just made in the Power BI desktop. Now, a lot of times when you upload or when you develop a report, you're going to develop it in some sort of dev environment. You're not going to develop it in production. So you'll need to actually repoint those to maybe a production database. So the next few steps on here show you how to actually update the connection string information, point it to a different SQL server, whatever source you're using. And the final steps on there will actually show you how to set the credentials on it so that your Power BI report can go ahead and talk to that SQL Azure database, that Azure data warehouse database you have out there, and everything will just work. So when you do those last couple steps, you can actually then go ahead and run our embed sample. And when you run that, you'll get something like this, which is a full-blown web app. And when you build an application for Power BI, or that uses Power BI embedded, you're not usually building just a report viewer. It's usually an application that does something else that happens to have Power BI in it. In this case, let's pretend it's our e-commerce site. And I've logged in here as a user of this site. I am not a Power BI user. This person logged in is not a Power BI user. They do not have a Power BI subscription. They may not even know Power BI exists. They log into the site as they normally would if they wanted to sell some products. In this case, they want to see how their sales are doing. So they'll come and they'll click on reports, and they can see the sales report, which is that dashboard we just made, and the one that you can upload with that sample that I was showing earlier. So we have the exact same report, except now it's running in the web, has our custom visual in there, still fully interactive. Again, every time I'm clicking on something here, it's actually firing off queries to a SQL Azure DB and bringing the latest results back. Now that's quick version of our go live scenario. These samples, again, all the code's available. Everything I've shown you here is available, and you can download and try this out yourself. Now, one thing to note here is I'm logged in as a user of the site. And let me show you how you make that happen. All these calls have to be authenticated. The embedding has to be authenticated. The uploading of all the content has to be authenticated. And I'm logged in here as someone from contoso.com. I want to see sales. I want to see how my company is doing. I should really only see how my company is doing. But notice on here, when I look at the sales by the different sales reps, I see sales reps from AdventureWorks. I see sales reps from Contoso as well. So we want to make sure that we don't leak data here. We have a multi-tenant app here, so maybe I have thousands of customers, and I have them all in one instance of my application, but they should only see their data. So I'm going to show you in the next few steps how we secure these and how we can actually fix this problem here where we're kind of showing customers data from other customers. So, yeah, flip back. So just a quick recap on the APIs. As part of being part of the Azure infrastructure, part of the Azure platform, we have the Azure Arm APIs, or Azure Resource Manager. Those are the APIs you do for everything I showed you in the Azure portal. The provisioning of the workspace collections, the getting of your API keys, the regeneration of those keys. You can check your billing usage using those APIs. That's kind of your Azure provisioning piece. Yep. Yeah, we just turned it in, so they should be posting them very soon. The question was, can you get a copy of the slides?
Thank you.
Yep. So the Azure Arm APIs, also a lot of these slides are also in the documentation on the Azure site. If you go to Azure, azure.com, you click on documentation, you find Power BI embedded. Most of these are up there as well. So the Arm APIs take care of that provisioning piece. And you have the Power BI APIs, and these kind of do the Power BI specific functions. This is what you're going to use to provision your content, like upload the reports. This is also what you're going to use to do your embedding. So to authenticate and authorize those calls, you're going to do what I'm about to show next. Now, we wanted to make sure Power BI embedded easily fits into applications you've already built or are building now. And we know that applications that are already out there, and even new ones coming out, you have your own ways sometimes of authenticating and authorizing users. You're not always in AAD, you're not always in some sort of standard authentication provider. So we came up with this concept called app tokens. We wanted to make sure that you didn't have to switch all your users over to AAD just to be able to use Power BI embedded. So with app tokens, we basically allow your users to log in to your application. Your app's going to do the authentication and the authorization of those users. And then it's going to delegate those permissions to Power BI so those users can see things in Power BI. This means that whatever you're doing to authenticate and authorize users, even if it's nothing, you can continue to do that today, and you can delegate those permissions to Power BI. So how does that work? Let's say we have your application here on the left-hand side. It has its users, its different auth providers, the different permissions of what the users are allowed to see. And then on the right-hand side, you have what your application has created inside Power BI embedded. It's workspaces, the different reports. When you create your workspace collection, as I showed you in the Azure portal, we created those API keys. And what you're going to do is you're going to copy those API keys out and store them somewhere securely in your application. You're going to treat these like they're passwords. And you can copy them out in a couple ways. You could do it the way I showed you in the Azure portal, where you just manually copy and paste. Or you can use the Arm APIs, because this is something in Azure portal, and automate the process of getting those and storing them in your app. Now, once you've stored them, we have a shared secret between your application and Power BI itself. So now a user comes into his app, into your app, like you saw in Nintex. And you saw in Nintex, we presented the user with a bunch of reports. Nintex decided there which reports the user was allowed to see. They know who the user is. They decide what they're allowed to see. User clicks on the report they want to see, and what Nintex in that case started to do was generate this app token. And the app token, it's really just a JOT token or JSON web token. It's a piece of JSON, and it has some claims on it. One of the claims is that the token can view, in this case, report one. The holder of that token can view report one. And you give it some sort of expiration time, like 5 minutes or an hour. That's how long that token's good for. Now you have a token that says what it can do and how long it's good for. The last thing you want to do is you want to take your API keys and sign that token. Now, the user can go attempt to talk to Power BI directly to view that report. And when I say the user, you're actually going to be probably your client code that's going to render that report, and it's probably running directly in the user's browser. So since it's running in the user's browser, you don't want to give them your API keys, because then they can do whatever they want. So you're going to give them this very limited, short-lived token that'll let them view that report. So pass the token back to the browser. The browser will attempt to talk to Power BI directly to view the report. And what we're going to do is we're going to look and say, okay, does it have the right claims for what the user is trying to do? Yes, it does. Is it still valid? Yes, it is. Okay. Is it properly signed? Yes, it is. Everything checks out. The user can now view report one by directly talking to Power BI for the life of that token. Now, if tomorrow the user is no longer allowed to see report one, you simply just don't generate that token for them anymore. So all the permissions can live within your application. And when things change, you don't have to update anything in Power BI. You just simply don't generate that token for them again. Now, that shows you how to secure objects. But in the example I was showing in our demo, we want to make sure that users can only see the data they're supposed to see as well. So this is where row-level security comes in. So let me show you one more demo, at least one more demo. I'm going to flip back to here. And we want to make it so that when we view this report, logged in as someone from Contoso, I only see data for Contoso. So again, we're seeing data for Contoso and data for AdventureWorks. So let's go back to our report. Let me flip back to the data view for a minute. Now, we have our sales table here. And then we have what we call the tenant table. And the tenant table shows which company, or is the list of all the companies that are selling products on our site. So what I could do here, since I want to have users log in and only see stuff for their company, I could do a couple things. One is, I could click on Manage Roles, and I could create a role. Let's say I call it AdventureWorks. And on that tenant table, I can actually add a formula here. So the tenant table has two columns, ID and name. So the name is going to be the actual name of the company. So I can put a little formula in here. It says, name equals, it's a string, AdventureWorks. And I could go create one for Contoso. And then when the user logs in, I could say which role they're in. Works good if you have a couple of different roles you need. But I'm going to hope this company's going to be a little more successful. Let's say we have thousands and thousands of different users, thousands and thousands of different companies. So this will not scale for that approach. What we need to do is something a little bit more dynamic. So I'm going to cancel that for a moment. I want to go by the user who logs in. I want to figure out which company they're in and automatically filter down to that company they're in. So I have a couple extra tables in here. One is the user table. This lists all the users who have signed up for my application. And then in the middle between user and tenant is this user tenant table. And this shows which tenant the users belong to. So which companies they're basically allowed to see. These little arrows that you see here and here, what they indicate is the directions that the filters flow between tables. So if I filter on this table, what it means is a filter will flow down to this user tenant table and then flow down to this tenant table because the arrows are pointing that way as well, kind of like an inner join. So all I need to do here is now put a filter on user and make sure that the signed in user is the one that the filter is being applied to. So I can do that with two steps. Go back to roles. I'm just going to create one generic role now. I'm going to do one role for all my users. I'm just going to call it tenant. And I'm going to put it on the user table instead of the tenant table. And user also has a column called name. And we have a function in DAX called username. And what username function does is it returns the currently signed in user. So I have a filter applied on the name column here that's going to use a dynamic function that's going to return who the currently signed in user is. Now, if you saw the app token process earlier, we didn't know who the user was. All that was obscured by the application that was actually doing the embedding. That app did the authentication and the authorization. So what we can actually do now is we added some stuff to our app token. So in addition to the two claims that were on there before, we've now added two additional optional claims, the username and the roles. So I just created a role called tenant, and that has a formula in it that was filtering on user and name. And it used a DAX function called username, which returns the signed in user, or in our case, it's going to return whatever string value you place in this username claim. So I put in username 1. That's going to be the input to that formula, and that's what filter is going to be applied. So if we actually look back at the code for the sample app, at the point where I generate the app token, which is right here, this is generating our app token, and I'm giving it all the information it needs. But then I also pass into it a role called tenant. And I'm passing into it, you can see, the username right here. Now, when you're doing this for real, you probably don't want to hard code it. It's a way to go, but I wouldn't recommend it. But you'll pass in the username that you want to see. Now, this can be a real username. This can be any kind of string you want. But it's basically just input into that formula we wrote before. So now if I go back to the report, to save a little bit of time, I just updated it. This is the one we created earlier. I didn't have the security. Here's the one I just created with the security. But if you're doing this for real, you'd have to re-upload it. I'm still logged in as someone from Contoso. And now you can see all the AdventureWorks users are gone. It's only Contoso. So new user comes in, new company signs up for my app. I don't have to physically go and change the report. It's all data driven. So new rows show up in my tables. User can log in immediately and see just their data. So with these tools, this is how you actually go ahead and create a multi-tenant app. Demo role level security. So the demo I showed basically had the report that we made, and it was running inside an iframe. And an iframe is just kind of a container where this kind of like almost like a separate web page almost runs inside of your application. And you can see here, you kind of have the application that we built on the outside. Then you have the report that we were building on the inside of the iframe. And they're kind of isolated from each other. So the demos I was showing, you could see the report inside the app, and you could click around the report. But the application itself, other than what it rendered, it doesn't get any information on what's happening inside the report. And it can't really do much to affect the report after it's been loaded. Until about a couple weeks ago, we released our new JavaScript API, which actually allows for communication to flow back and forth between the iframe itself. So let me show some demos of how that works. Actually, before I do that, here's the JavaScript API. It's just kind of the object model for it. It lets you do a whole bunch of different things. So it makes the embedding of the report even easier. Once you do the embedding, you can actually list out all the different pages that are in the report. So you can see the names of the pages, how many are in there. Once you know the names of the pages, you can actually flip between the pages. You can also go ahead and set filters. You can turn things, UI elements on and off. And rather than actually just talking about it, maybe I'll just show it. So if you go find our documentation again, you can link to these same examples as well. So here is a report embedded in the iframe. Notice no filter pane anymore. No page navigation, because when I embed these reports now, I can actually turn all these things off. You can also turn them back on. Oops. Turn them back on. And I can do this all without having to reload the report again. Now, I've turned the filter and the page navigation off. I might still want to do some filtering and page navigation. So, but maybe I don't want to use those tabs that are at the bottom. Maybe that doesn't fit the style of my app. So I turned them off. But when I embedded the report, I get an object back of the report and all the different elements that are inside of it. I can see all the pages that are in there. And I can see their names. So I created my own little custom page navigation here on the bottom, where I can go. And anytime a user clicks on my page navigation, I can go ahead and update the page number of the active page of the report. I can do this, you know, multiple different ways. I can do it all automated, just automatically cycle through them. You know, it's just code at this point. A lot of people have been looking at doing this for storytelling. Oh, that got really fast. If you're gonna tell a story, you should probably do it slower. But it's a way for you to now send information into the report. Now I can do it with page navigation. I can also do it with filtering. So maybe that black filter bar on the right side doesn't match the style of your app. So you can actually go ahead and turn that off, and you can build your own custom filter pane. I have one on here. I also have, in the demo we have up here, we have some preset filters. So let's say I want to filter the entire report on where store name contains the word direct in it. Click on that, and you'll see the report just updates automatically without me having to refresh the page, without the report having to reload. I usually use to demo on this with a bigger aspect ratio. But you can kind of do this to kind of step the user through everything they're seeing. Now, something I'd love to demo, but it didn't quite make it for Ignite, but it'll be out in probably the next week or maybe 2 weeks. It's already been checked in, so it's riding our deployment trains. This is, you know, sending filters in. What you'll be able to do when those bits drop is when a user now clicks inside the report on any data point, we're actually going to fire an event that you can listen to. So you can actually see what they clicked on. And you can use that now to take some action within your application. I was mentioning storytelling earlier. So when someone clicks on the different data points, you could potentially record that and then play it back to them later if you want to. Or you could use that to filter down different elements of your UI. I've seen people looking to actually go and say you click on a customer, they'll open up that customer's page and say a CRM system, let the user update information in there, and then take them right back to the report. Another piece that's coming is the ability to then refresh the data once you're back on the report. So that actually might be there this week. We can actually go and call refresh, and that will update just the data inside this page without you having to refresh the whole page or refresh the session or anything like that. So this API is pretty big. It opens up a lot of new scenarios that we didn't have before. To see the complete list, if you go to our dev.powerbi.com, we have a blog up there. It's also on the Azure documentation page. But for managing the reports, let's go to something more interesting, the filtering of the reports. We could do a lot more than those couple simple examples I showed you. Basically, anything you can do in the Power BI UI, on that filter pane there, you can do through the JavaScript API, all kinds of composite filters, multiple values, advanced filtering. All those options are there. We have some examples on here. We also have all the code I was showing is available for download. And the next steps, like I said, are coming out are the is that data selected event, which will let you do kind of the know what the user clicked on, let you do some drill through. And some more actions like the refresh and also printing of the page. Those pieces should be there in this week, actually. Any questions on that before I go forward? Okay, flip back. Yeah. Oh, custom visuals.
All right.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, can you customize the refresh rate of the reports you're embedding in the iframe? So when you're using direct query, there is actually no refresh rate because it's always live. So every time you load the report, you're going to see the latest data. But there are some times where you want to within a report session, still update the data. Maybe they took some action in your UI, like they changed some values, and the report happens to be open there as well, and you want to see the latest data there. With the client-side API, either this week, I think it's going to be this week, again, latest next week, you'll be able to actually call refresh, which will update the data without the user having to touch anything. If they're actually sitting there and staring at the report, they'll see the data change. And you can call that once every 15 seconds is what we throttled it at right now. Yep.
OK, so what we've been talking about is Power BI embedded. Oh, sorry, was there another question?
Yeah. So the question was about the logging and errors. Is there anything comparable to what you get in SSRS? What we do is we throw the errors back up through the APIs, so you can log them within your applications, with the normal logging mechanisms for your applications. That way you don't have two separate things right now. When we start doing things like data refresh, and they're a little bit more asynchronous, we're going to have to add some more logging capabilities for you to actually go and check as well, too.
Okay, so Power BI Embedded is very much about putting reports into your application, right, in context. Another tool that we offer for the regular Power BI service as well as Power BI Embedded is custom visuals. Josh and I have both already touched on this, but the goal of custom visuals is to make your data even easier to consume, right? Data is the most powerful when it's in context, and the visual shows business domain specific representations. Josh and I have met with a lot of customers over the past 6 months, and everyone from oil and gas to the airline industry, what they want, they don't want charts. They don't even need bar charts, right? They need some visualization that allows their IW, their user, to quickly understand what that data means. And that can be most powerful when it looks exactly like the particular subject matter they're representing. So custom visuals, as Josh said, is a framework that lets customers and partners build visuals for Power BI that make sense for your use. The gallery you saw that Josh flipped over to, visuals.powerbi.com, are 62 visuals that we call community visuals. Everyone can have access to them. But you don't have to do that, right? And an example we'll actually have in a second here, some customers are creating these custom visuals and they just keep them private. They use them, but they don't have to share them. As Josh said, all of our visuals code are up on GitHub, and so you can just download that and start partying. You can modify existing, you can create net new. Custom visuals are built using D3 and TypeScript, but as you've seen and you will see, you can be using WebGL, any web technology that you need to get your job done. One of the things that make Power BI custom visuals super powerful are they behave like any other visual in your reports. We do that by exposing what we call capabilities. We say, here's the different types of capabilities that a visual can have, and you as a visual author define the behaviors. So as in the example reports, clicking on one visual shows the others to highlight or filter. Those are all behaviors that you can elect to implement yourself when creating those custom visuals. And as I mentioned, you can use ones from the community. We have 62 up there today, or even build your own. Now, I'd like to actually introduce Andrew, who's from Cushman & Wakefield, one of our customers, up to the stage real quick to show both how they've used custom visuals, but also use Power BI Embedded to meet some of their business needs. Welcome, Andrew. I have to make this switch.
All right, so when Jonah spoke about, less than 25% or 30% of the employees of an organization having access to analytics, I think he's a nice guy. He was kind and he was trying to say that, some numbers which are a bit higher. But in reality, I think it's less than 10 or 15% in real life.
How many folks here agree with that?
10 to 15%. Well.
Yeah. Right, so the reason why we moved into Power BI is that every employee who has an email address has access to Office 365 if the organization has moved to the Office 365 subscription. And from the chairman to the CEO to the global CIO in the organization to my boss, who's the global technology director, the CTO, all have one ambition in life, is to ensure that every employee in the organization has, it can be employee or even the customer, has to have access to some form of analytics. And the best way is every employee has an email address, and if you subscribe to Office 365, you will by default have access to Power BI, and if you know Excel, basically you can use Power BI. So that's fine. So then what happens to external clients who don't have Office 365? And that's where we use Power BI Embedded. And the great thing about that is that if you already have an existing application, it can be a mobile application, it can be your SharePoint, normal web application, you can just embed it. So on top of that, all right, so now the employee has got access. The next most important thing is adoption. Of course, if you know Excel, you can then use Power BI. And then comes for people like, you know, senior executives, people who are in the strategic level, or people who are in the tactical level, a picture piece speaks 1,000 words, right? So you need to show things visually. So here I have, as you can see, here is a visual where we are trying to show, all right, here is my properties. How does the vacancy look? So I click on the red ones. It'll show me, all right. So I clicked on the green, it's 72% occupied from a factor, and it gives me my, you know, what my variance from a financial perspective are. If I click on yellow, it'll tell me, all right, it's 25% occupied. So, you know, visually it gives me a thought, or you know, a snapshot of, you know, here's my portfolio, which buildings are, you know, empty, because Cushman & Wakefield is one of the largest real estate companies. If not the largest, must be at least in the top three. Here is another visual where we have used, where you can actually look at this whole portfolio of yours in a map. Okay, you want to go see more details, you can click on that, and that gives me a kind of a sunburst chart. I can then click on, see, go to a particular building or a particular meeting room and see how my energy consumption is. You know, every building has assets, you know, from an air condition to a lift or elevator. I don't know what you call in US, but we in Australia call it lifts. And you know, you can see how it's performing from, you know, how it is being serviced. I can then see, okay, this one is quite high. It's a building. I can go and then reduce that part off. And then it gives me, like, you can do whatever visual you want, is what I'm trying to say. And not only that, you can actually embed that into app. Now you can see it's no more Power BI. It's actually embedded into our client portal. So this is what the client sees. You know, for my particular property, this is my property manager, this is my facilities manager. I can then come down, see my income, my expense. I can click on details. It'll then show me details for that particular month. I can look at that month to date, year to date. I can even come down some more and see, okay, what, you know, for a building, there are some important critical dates. You know, when do you renew your building? You know, when the lease expires, you know, how often you, you know, renegotiate and review your rent and stuff like that. So I click on that. This gives me details of all my critical dates. And I can look at that by the rent, which is in dollars, or I can see by area. Square feet here, square meters in Australia. I can also see things like a stack plan, where I can go floor by floor and see who are the tenants and get details. Like this, basically you can build anything you want. And that's it.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. All right. So. The takeaway there really is, one of the things our VP has always said, James Phillips, it's 5 seconds to sign up, 5 minutes to wow, right? With the things that come out of the box with Power BI, you can create most of the reports you need. As you saw from Josh's demo, all that stuff comes with Power BI. If you want to take that to the next level, to really make those applications super domain specific and make those insights pop, you can do that too with things like custom visuals. And that's really what we want to be delivering here, right? A solution that meets all of your business needs. A quick plug for the custom visual space overall. This has actually been a really interesting area for us. This is another area that our team owns. What we've seen is, yes, customers like Cushman & Wakefield, or some of our other customers, one of the world's largest airline engine manufacturers, they create the custom visuals for their business needs. We've actually seen other customers and partners build a business on top of custom visuals. And so Narratives for Power BI comes from Narrative Science. We've worked with them very closely. And using the custom visuals framework as is, we're able to create the narratives for Power BI custom visual. What this does is takes data from your data model, sends it off to a narrative science service, and then brings back contextual narrative about that. So you can imagine, as an analyst, I've got a whole bunch of financial analysis data, tables upon tables, right? Earnings and whatnot. My CEO wants to know what's going on. I don't want to have to go and take that, figure out something in Word, send it. The narratives for Power BI Custom Visual is a custom visual you plop right into your report, and it sits alongside the data. And you can control the verbosity. You can do all these different things. There's actually a refresh coming out this week. But the narratives for Power BI Custom Visual is interesting for me because it shows two things. You get this for free. The Power BI Custom Visuals ecosystem continues to grow. We have partners like Fusion Charts, Esri, Narrative Science, all working with us, providing custom visuals for you to use out of the box. They work both in the regular Power BI service as well as Power BI Embedded. Now, putting an ISV hat on for those folks in the room that may work for a company, that means you too can go and create these. Get in touch with us, and you can be connected with our community. That could either be, again, through providing a free custom visual, or we're even working on what we're calling a partner program where you can monetize these. Same framework, same code. It's just a different channel for how that gets distributed. And that's one of our goals here, right, is to help our partners grow as well alongside our own business. Okay, so now brass tacks. That was all great. You saw all the good stuff. Pricing. Where we are today, first and foremost, is we are a pay-as-you-go service. There are no upfront costs. There are no infrastructure costs from Power BI Embedded. Now, I'm going to put an asterisk there. If you store data in SQL Azure or something else, that's a service you've elected to use. You pay for that. But from Power BI Embedded's point of view, we don't make you buy servers. You don't run Azure IaaS. What you saw Josh sign up for is that's it. It's all provisioned in there. And you pay for what your users use. Not even how many reports you have. You could have 50, you could have 100 reports, you could author for 6 years, we're not gonna charge you until someone renders a report. Please don't spend 6 years authoring a report. If you need help, call us, we'll help you figure that out. But first of all, there's a dev test cycle with all applications, right? So what we've done is included 100 free renders every month. That way you're able to do your tweaking, right? You're embedding, you're trying things out. The 101st on, it's 5 cents for each report session. Now, what is a report session? A report session is when a report is loaded inside your application. So let me just play this out for you for a second, because this hopefully heads off some questions. 9 a.m., user one comes into the kiosk, starts work, right? It's possible that they're using it for a bunch of stuff. 9:02, 9:05, they're doing interactive cross-filtering, you saw all that. At 9:55, they close down that app, they never use it again. You'll be charged for one report session, because it was for up to 1 hour. Second scenario, user comes in at 9 a.m., starts playing around with that report until 9:55, does not close the app. The app just sits there idle until 5 p.m. because they're a good employee. At 5:01, they close the app. Because it was idle for the 7 hours and 5 minutes, we don't charge you for that. We charge you because the user was interactive with that report for that first hour. And so where we do charge you the whole time is if this user is using that report the whole day through, right, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's when you're going to see multiple report sessions. So that's how report sessions work. Again, it's pay per play, and it's on a report basis. So that's actually it for planned content. We want to leave time for questions. Two things we want to put out there first. There's a Power BI Embedded Accelerator offer available. Please feel free to sign up at this website. What we do is we give you some hands-on time with people that are SMEs, subject matter experts with Power BI Embedded, with Power BI Desktop, authoring in general. The goal here is inside of 8 weeks to get you into production, right? We want to get you up and going. And we also want to be able to write about it. So there's a bit of give and get, but it's free, and you get hands-on time with engineers from Microsoft. So there's a very big win there, and I strongly recommend that you you sign up for that. If you already have an existing relationship with Microsoft, perhaps you're one of our managed ISVs, you're an EPG partner, there's channels there. Just get in touch with your account managers as well. This applies to everyone, and as appropriate, we have other channels for you to engage as well. And then finally, please, if you haven't already, which I don't think was a lot, I think most people had at least tried Power BI Embedded, go out there, get going. Josh brought up a bunch of samples. They're all on the Azure website. That sample app is there, so you should be able to deploy to an Azure website inside of minutes, and then you're able to play around with that, plug that into your application. And as Josh mentioned, dev.powerbi.com is our website. We have a blog with all the latest releases, and so you should be able to keep up to date with everything that's coming out, including the events and actions that Josh was talking about in the next week or two. So on that note, please evaluate us. five, what is it, out of five, I think, or something, right? Yes. You like this, right?
5 out of 5.
Okay, exactly. Anyhow, we've got time for questions. So there's two mics right there if you want to just hop up and ask anything you got. Otherwise, thank you so much for your time.
You got a mic there?
Quick question. Around rendering extensions, is there any capability to render to PDF or Excel?
So we have the ability to export to a CSV right now. Just like with the regular Power BI on individual visuals, you can do that. I believe PDF is something that's underway across the service.
Yeah, it's something planned for sure.
Yeah, it's something that we're looking at across both the regular Power BI and Power BI Embedded. I don't think we have an exact timeline on that yet, but that's definitely something that we've been asked for a lot.
Got it. And the other question is just around unit testing. So if I've got a test bed that actually regression tests and unit tests my reports and pulls them, you know, I'm pulling maybe 100 reports a day. Am I going to be charged 5 cents for every unit test that runs?
Yeah, and Azure, so it'll be like any other Azure resource at that point. You'll pay for what you use. But Azure does have certain, you know, developer pricing and credits they give you per month. That would work the same way. Over there?
Yeah. Unfortunately, my data is on-prem. Can we expect data connectivity gateway, kind of?
Sharon, you want to answer? Sharon, you want to answer it?
Oh, yeah, on-prem data is one of our number one asks right now, and the code is literally underway as we speak. Yeah. Thank you.
How did you actually define the sessions? You said for the user sessions, right, for the pay model? So yeah. How is a user session actually defined? How do you actually define
Once the report loads, that's going to be 5 cents, and that session is good for an hour. If they don't use it after that, it's just the 1 5 cents. If they use it, you know, 3 hours later and they didn't close it, it'll be 2 sessions basically. It's basically each interaction per hour per report.
Thank you.
Is there any capability to build more, quote, traditional looking reports that have text and things like that on them? I mean, the graphs and stuff are great, and I love the architecture, but you know, our business users are going to want some of the more familiar type of reports also that give. I saw briefly the custom visualization that the gentleman displayed real quickly at the bottom. It looked like there was some text, so that excited me a little bit. But you know, is there more than, do you have to go custom? Is that, you know, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Power BI on a whole, just to your point, is much more geared towards that quick insight visual than it is the multi-page tabular type report, right? So that's the first
paginated. Oh, tabular.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, paginated reports. Now, like you mentioned, we do have customers where you can have a table that's showing the data in line, right, in that application right there, and that way the raw rows, so to speak, are shown. So that's definitely one approach we've seen people do, in which case it's a navigate via the visuals, and the drill down ends up in some kind of a table format, right? That's what we've seen customers do.
So you can display within
there
the
is
visual?
A table control, yeah, okay. That allows you. The one thing I'll just mention.
Table
just,
matrix.
Right. Yeah. The one thing I'll mention is when you print it, it does not come out like an RS report. Like, it's not a multi-page. Again, we are very much about that visual report in the context of an application, right? So there's a little bit of a difference there. But if you're talking about interactively using the report, the table matrix control will let you do exactly that, show basically the raw data if they want to go there.
Yeah, the reports are meant to be a lot more interactive, and they're kind of designed around that experience. I've had some customers who've talked to me and said, you know, before they knew we had this embedded product, they're like, okay, well, I don't want to have to train my customers on every aspect of Power BI. I just want to be able to see a report and be done with it. So they wanted to print originally, and then when they heard they could embed it, they decided to come up with a much simpler embedding control for their users so they could actually still have the interactivity, but not have to learn every single aspect of Power BI to use it.
Yep.
Josh, John, can you hear me?
Yep.
Good presentation. Thank you very much. My name's Mark, Scommunity. I deal with a System Center Operations Manager, System Center, you know, Service Manager, all of these different kinds of, the entire suite. The issue I have is I've had to use something called SciSense. Don't know if you know it, it's an Israeli product very similar to this. It allows me to pull in data from every source, Oracle, wherever it is, connectors all the time. That takes time because it has to build the data model and then it presents all the data. My question is quite simple. I have used the SCOM database by using various PowerShell techniques to insert data in there so that I can get a reference and therefore design a report using the report server, then using an iframe to display within SharePoint 10, so using the free web part apps. My question is quite simple. By trying to use Power BI, does it connect to everything or is it just SQL?
So we connect to a whole bunch of different sources.
Where are we at?
The answer is yes, we connect to more than just SQL.
Excellent. Yeah. The translation is what I'm after, not how it works, because my point is that if I've got a user ID with this and an Oracle database which is looking at Contoso and then this and that, how we merge all that data into one table, not one table, but we utilize all the different functions to get that.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways to do it. And one is you simply do what you said. You have an ETL process that does the merging.
Yeah.
If you're using Power BI directly, you can actually, and you're in this import mode, you can actually take data from multiple different sources and mash it up in Power BI itself.
That's what I wanted to know.
Third option we have is, it's not available on Embedded yet, but it is available on Power BI directly, and hopefully someday we'll be on Power BI Embedded, is you can push us the data as well. So we have an API that lets you define a data set and then send us the data. I'll do some demos on that in my session at the end of the week. But then you could basically do any kind of transformation you want. The data can come from wherever you want. Doesn't matter who or what is pushing it. As long as it's authenticated, it can send the data to a data set directly. Then any reports that are pointing to that will automatically update.
So then just a last caveat on that question then. Backward compatibility. How far, what will Power BI not be able to pull data from, or can it pull from anything?
I mean, there are a list of supported sources. There are some that aren't there, and there are a bunch that are there, and we're constantly trying to add more.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of generic sources too, like ODBC, and REST APIs. So, you know, if you have a REST API that just returns JSON, we have the tools for you to turn that JSON blob into tables, and you can basically at that point pull from anything.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and so here, this one screen, the get data in the desktop, shows you the full set of sources. You mentioned Oracle, so that's why I pulled that one up. But straight up REST APIs, ODBC sources, all of those are supported.
That's excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Sure. So the question was, can direct query invoke stored procedures?
It cannot. But you can do it for cache mode. But not for direct query mode. Yeah. You can do it for cache mode. There's some blogs on it. It's not. What's that?
What about table functions?
Table functions. You can execute generic SQL. So as long as it returns a table, it should work. I haven't tried table functions directly though.
We're just saying select star from this function.
Yeah, it should work.
Yeah, it's more about what we get back. So that's why it should.
Yeah, if you go into SQL. Yeah, look for a blog post on M and stored procedures. The M is our transformation language. And there should be a few blogs on how to at least do it with stored procedures.
Hi. I'm trying to get an understanding of my options with Power BI. So if you don't have Azure set up, what can you do with Power BI? I assume you can use it in Excel, and then can it be embedded in an application that way? Or?
So sorry, was your question you don't have an Azure SQL database set up?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So as Josh mentioned right now, so SQL Azure is one of the data sources that we support. We will eventually support this whole set, like everything in here. So you do have a couple, like you mentioned, you could do an Excel import as your data source, in which case now it's static, right? There isn't the real-time updates there. We are hopefully in the next little bit here adding things like refresh and such, so we should be able to support those. But on-prem SQL, all those, the gentleman earlier asked, we'll be supporting that. So we will have a variety of data sources. Do you have on-prem SQL or something else, or is it actually truly Excel spreadsheets that you're...
We use mostly reporting services.
Connecting to what? What's your reporting services connecting to?
We have a SQL Server database that we're pulling from. And then, yeah, but then we embed SSRS mostly in SharePoint. So as far as the front end, I mean, if you're developing using Power BI in Excel, would you just put it out in a SharePoint library, or how could you get that in front of your customer outside of Excel local on their machine?
So I'm just trying to get the scenario. You're trying to embed it for external customers, basically?
Internal to my company, yes.
Internal, you could use Power BI directly. So there's the Power BI Embedded, which is the Azure service. Then we have PowerBI.com itself. You could sign up for that, and basically all your users at that point would have to be Power BI users. They'd have AAD accounts, which we would do for you automatically. And then you can either have them go to Power BI to view it, or you can use our API. The same APIs we have for Power BI Embedded are also available for Power BI. So you can actually embed from there as well. And that will connect to your on-prem SQL.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yep.
Hi, I have a quick question. We are using SAP. We have a big SAP BW, and we have started the implementation of SAP, the Power BI, and we are trying to pull the data in from SAP HANA database, and we have some challenges to, you know, in terms of authentication and how to control the access level for the users so that they can, they should be able to see only what they're supposed to get it. I mean, how to deal with the situation.
Are you doing this with cache mode or direct query?
Direct query.
Trying to remember how SAP connects. If it's direct query, or is it live connect? Do you remember? If it's direct query, you should be able to use the same. If it's direct query or cache, you should be able to use the same method I showed, which is called RLS, row level security. And if you look for, there's a bunch of blog posts. There's a bunch of new blog posts on it for Power BI. The feature itself is not anything new. It's actually been on announced services for like 15 years. So there's lots and lots of blog posts about it and documentation. But essentially, you should be able to do what I showed and define those roles and define the mappings between the users and what they're allowed to see. And if you're using Power BI itself, it'll all be driven off of the AD login for the user. So you don't have to do the token stuff that I was showing.
So the single sign-on part is already taken care of?
Yeah, because you're signing in through Power BI in that case. Okay. If you're signing in through your own app, then your app has to take care of it.
So we're actually about to lose the room. We're happy to keep taking questions, though, but I think we're probably going to have to go outside. So feel free to grab us. We'll be around here or out front. Thank you very much.